So what about in Ring of Honor right now? You're paired up with Larry Sweeney and Chris Hero, Sweet and Sour Incorporated. What's that like? You guys, all three of you, have kind of reputations for being some of the best talkers on the independent scene. What do you think about all being paired up together in one big juggernaut?
It's a lot of fun. You know, Sweeney and I have been wanting to work together, geez, for as long as he's been in Ring of Honor, and even probably before that. Just a fan of his style, just a fan of how he talks. When I watch Larry Sweeney perform, it reminds me of when I was a kid watching Bobby Heenan.
Same here.
You know, I'm always been a big fan of Larry Sweeney, and I've known Chris Hero for probably 10 years. It's fun for us to just kind of go out there and do our thing. Chris has kind of tweaked his style, I would say, in the last 6 months, trying to get a different reaction from the fan base than he was previously. You know, I know that some people miss the kind of funny ha-ha Chris Hero, but if you were to sit down and ask him legitimately, he was never going for that reaction, ever, and was disappointed that he was getting it. So this is the reason why he kind of put all of us together and said, you know what, let's see if we can't get this type of reaction and kill three birds with one stone, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think Chris is definitely kind of hitting his stride with this new serious, I'm going to knock you out, the young knockout kid or whatever his billing is right now. I think he's really kind of figured out the perfect crowd interaction and everything to get the fans that wanted to see the Hero that did kip-ups and rope jumps and all that and kind of get it all together. So I think, and the three of you guys, I think, are doing a great job putting everything together.
Yeah, we're certainly trying. I mean, and luckily Ring of Honor's kind of given us the ball and said, you know, here's a loose format of how we want things to go, but just go out there and do your thing. And as long as we get to where all of us want to be at the end, I think we'll be successful.
And you mentioned you've known Chris Hero for almost a decade now, and he's a Midwesterner, and you came up in the Midwest. Seems like you've had a kind of a big impact on the Midwest indie scene in a lot of ways. Would you care to tell the fans that may not know about things with the Gold Bond Mafia, Colt Cabana, World Champion CM Punk, anything that interesting about that you'd like to share?
Sure. I mean, you know, it's kind of funny, actually. I have been around, and even when I came to the West Coast, I came up in Chicago. I was trained by Sonny Rogers and Randy Ricci, who those names may not ring familiar to younger fans, but for those of them who've watched WWF TV for the last 20 years, you would have seen Jerry Fox get squashed on Superstars a million times, and Sonny Rogers has been around for almost 30 years going back to the AWA in a similar role. So I was trained in that old way and had worked in the Midwest since, you know, November 95, I think, is when I started training, and then had matches starting in 96. But I've been lucky enough to see a lot of guys come through and start: CM Punk, Colt Cabana, Brad Bradley, just to name a few. Ken Kennedy, there's another one that I think I was on the card for his first match too in Green Bay, and just a bunch of guys that have taken the ball and run with it, and they've wanted to be wrestlers since day one, and they got in the ring, and it's weird. Yeah, I've been able to say that I've been on the card or in the ring for guys' first training sessions. Punk and Cabana specifically, I remember when they first came to the Steel Domain run by Danny Dominion and Ace Steel to get trained, and to see where the guys are now, and they're following their dreams, and Punk in particular has quote meteoric rise, which I still don't think he even can believe is happening, but you know, he deserves it. He's worked hard. I wish they'd do something with Cabana, because I get sick of getting text messages from Florida about how unhappy he is. And I think that's relative. You know, he's one of those guys who, and there's still very few of us here in the wrestling business now, at least on that aren't working for WWE, that can say he gets a paycheck, and he gets paid to wrestle, and he doesn't have to do anything else, and God bless him for that. So I think it's just a matter of time with him. Ken Kennedy, obviously, a high-profile spot, and has worked his tail off to do what he's done, and now I think he's hurt, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think I saw that he broke his shoulder, dislocated his shoulder.
Yeah. And that
I can speak from
that.
Experience, that is one of the most painful injuries ever.
Yep, absolutely. The Gold Bond Mafia, since you brought it up, was myself, Dave Prazak, who's obviously still around with Ring of Honor and doing the Shimmer thing, Colt Cabana, CM Punk, and Chucky Smooth. We were basically a bunch of young idiots and kind of stuck to ourselves and did our little group click type thing, you know, throughout a bunch of independents in the Midwest and in the late 90s. It was a lot of fun, and it's fun when people still remember that. When I wrecked Cabana in his last match for Ring of Honor, we worked in a bottle of Gold Bond just for that.
Yeah, I popped a little bit for that when I caught the DVD. That was pretty neat.
Just for kicks. And even when I moved out west, I mean, Samoa Joe was just starting when I moved out here in 2002. So I was on a bunch of shows with him in 2000 and 2001 when he was just first starting. So that was, it's fun to see how Joe's come from a different place and what he's doing now too. So he used to do a lot of hardcore stuff, believe it or not. But yeah, it's interesting.
It is kind of funny that, you know, guys that I watched as a fan in like the Murphy Rec Center where Ring of Honor started are now on TV wearing gold around their waist and selling shirts online and everything. It's kind of a neat thing being a fan of indie wrestling. I think that you get to see those guys. Same thing with being a fan of indie music or whatever. When you see a
Sure.
band make it big, it's kind of a neat time to have been an indie fan in the late 90s when indies kind of replaced the territories, I think, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, for good or bad, but that's basically how it went down. And yeah, it's great, man. I mean, it's great to see guys have a passion for something and stick to it. And Lord knows we've all done it, but to hear people talk about you're driving 10 hours for $20, I mean, that's a reality for all of us. It's really sickening, actually, when you think about it. But to have the stick-to-itiveness, if you will, to continue on and make a buck and be happy, that's where most of us are, and that's where we want to be. So God bless them for it.
Thanks for listening to part 2 out of 3 of Inside Pulse Podcast with Scrap Iron Adam Pierce. Part 3 begins with a discussion of the independent wrestling scene in Southern California.